Word of mouth.
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 Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The conventions are over, the candidates chosen, but the general election still months away, which brings us to a familiar and difficult dilemma. Even as many Americans claim to be suffering from election fatigue, we just cannot stop talking about it. With parties and voters so deeply divided, navigating political conversations can be like steering the Titanic through the Arctic Circle. But fear not, Rob Baedeker is here to help us. He's co-author of What to Talk About on a Plane, at a Cocktail Party, in a Tiny Elevator with Your Boss's Boss, and joins us to offer some tips on how to talk politics. Rob, welcome back to Word of Mouth.
Thanks, Virginia. Happy to be here.
So Emily Post did say, never talk about politics or religion. So what does Rob Baedeker say?
I think Emily had it right, especially in this season. It's really hard to get it right. And my first piece of advice is just avoid it at all costs.
So what if you get drawn in, or even worse, incited?
Incited, provoked. I think you've got to decide what's your outcome. Do you want to try to convert someone, whatever side you may be on? Do you really think you're going to change their opinion? Do you want to learn something about them, actually have a conversation? Or do you just want to sort of burn down the house and, you know, leave nothing in your wake and put on a show? So get clear on, you know, what is it you really want?
So is there a foolproof way to talk about politics that can bring people together who have opposing views, you know, some sort of common ground?
Yeah, you know, in our book, Chris and I talk about this idea of breaking the mirror. That's in sort of day-to-day conversation. How do you get out of this loop of sort of boring, reflecting back, cliche ideas and take a left turn, really divert the conversation? And there might be a way, you know, for example, for two diametrically opposed views to find common ground in a hypothetical idea. You know, if we were to agree on a candidate, who might that be? Could we actually, in this conversation, agree on someone, something even, that we would both hypothetically vote for?
You know, like someone in the Great British Bake Off or something like that?
That's right. That's exactly right. All conversations lead to the Bake Off.
Well, how about a good distraction? I mean, if you're in the middle of it, do you, pretend you just got a really important text?
You can do that. You can use the bathroom. You can, you know, my favorite is to say, I just remembered I have a dentist appointment.
You must have really good teeth.
Yeah, it helps to eat a whole box of Oreos before you start the conversation.
Okay, so last time we spoke, you had a tip that seemed appropriate for political conversation. Expose your ignorance. How would that work here?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up again. Most of us, when we get in a political corner, tend to grab for facts or half-remembered platitudes. And it can be disarming to admit, you know, I really don't understand what the TPP is, or what exactly does the Second Amendment say? Be authentic about not knowing. It's a rare move in a political conversation or argument to express some uncertainty.
How about any good go-to political icebreakers?
we recommend in the book, ask for stories, not answers. So I would apply the same advice here. You know, tell me about the first time you voted, or what's the most memorable political convention speech you saw, or what do you know about Abraham Lincoln? Everybody loves Abraham Lincoln.
Well, all right, these awkward conversations may come up when we are dealing with strangers, you know, if you're at the hardware store, I don't know, but mostly the explosive political conversations held between members of the same family or friends. Does that change how we might approach these conversations?
Yeah, that's the real minefield. You're entering a family situation with the in-laws, with your siblings, where You may have an idea of where people stand, but it's sort of a tinderbox. It's a minefield just waiting to explode. So again, think about what's your ideal outcome? Do you want to end up at the end of the dinner standing on the table with a turkey leg in hand, holding the Constitution in the other hand, and making sure people remember that night. You can choose that route, or do you want to escape with relationships more or less intact? In that case, shutting up and listening might be your best approach.
But passions are so inflamed this election. I mean, we all saw the photographs on Twitter of, the weeping Bernie supporters. So if you are trying to convince somebody to take your side, is there a strategy, a way to do that, or just avoid it?
If you really are going to go there, start by having some curiosity. The best way to deflate tension is to let other people speak. And if you can acknowledge what they're saying, you don't have to agree with it, but if you can, articulate what's at the core of their concern, acknowledge that they have some points, that can take the tension down a little bit and possibly open up some space for dialogue. So don't start by talking, start by listening.
So, what if two other family members or friends are arguing? Do you interject? Do you try and patch things up?
No,
Try and come up with a
that's like
joke?
a dog fight or a, you know, the you just throw some meat into the cage and let them explode. I think you have little, you're going to get your hand bitten off if you try to intervene.
Well, so many political conversations, quote, happen on Facebook nowadays. So, since you are a man of many platforms, any tips on how to do politics online?
A man of many platforms. You must have read my business card.
Yeah, it's.
It's a hopeless, it's an even more hopeless cause if there's such a thing to engage in a debate on Facebook or email or Twitter. It takes a lot of the human relationship elements out of the equation, and you're just left with words that you, it's like a Rorschach test where you'll just see what you want to see and you'll amplify all of the fears and prejudices you have. So, again, advice number one, avoid those. And two, you can use that hide feature on Facebook where you just make it invisible. Save yourself some stress and anxiety.
Well, Rob Baedeker, thank you so much for the tips.
My pleasure. Nice to talk with you.
Rob Baedeker, co-author with Chris Collin of What to Talk About on a Plane, at a Cocktail Party, in a Tiny Elevator with Your Boss's Boss.